All right. Well, good morning, Matt, and good morning, Eric. We are this is the morning voice, and we're here on KVOI 10:30 a.m. as well as beautiful YouTube and that Facebook thing. And today we're going to talk about how we're planning our vacations. It's a little bit different than the AAA days, isn't it, Eric? So, and we're so happy to have Eric. Eric and I have been working together now, maybe 3, 4 years now, and on planning vacations and with his new really platform. And we're here today talking to Eric, who is Eric. Can we call you the founder of this beautiful organization?
That's correct.
All right, fantastic. And of course, you're also the boss, as Justin would say. And we have an opportunity here, I think, for all of you to learn, whether you're in Tucson, Southern Arizona, or whether you're certainly around the world, since we're streaming on kvoi.com. If you want to hear us on live, you can also go to kvoi.com. So Eric is from a company called Visit Widget. And I have to just a brief intro of how we found Eric. And actually, Eric could probably refresh my memory. But what I remember is that somebody in my board said we wanted to have a 24/7 opportunity for people to get hold of us live on the phone or wherever we were. And we were in the office Monday through Friday, but on Saturday and Sunday and after five, they wanted us to switch over to, as we used to call, the night operator. Well, that is easier said than done. And what happened after about, since we've been around for 22 years, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, we kind of assembled the top 20 questions. And we decided that we didn't want to do virtual because they don't always get it right. So as a result of that, big part of the questions were, what is there to do in Tucson? Where do I eat? Where do I stay? Can I find a babysitter somewhere? And what are the special events? And lo and behold, we ran into Eric's company. And he has a marketing platform. And Eric, I'm going to kind of turn it over to you. But before you tell us a little bit about Visit Widget, we always have a custom here on the Morning Voice to listen to hear from the person that actually developed this company. And we want to hear a little bit about who you are, Eric.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tom. I am a Texan that's spent quite a bit of time in Arizona, as well as New Mexico and everywhere in between. I started out, my basically professional career life in app development, and have spent virtually my entire time with, creating interactive experiences for all different kinds of audiences. And Visit Widget, really, the initial concept behind it was, it originated from being on a trip and realizing how many tools and different services you have to use to try to find the things you're looking for, as Tom mentioned. And we wanted to make that a lot more streamlined, a lot more intuitive, and easier for people to have a great time from prior to their visit, when they're planning, to when they're actually in destination, and even post-visit when they want to share the great experiences they had. So we built out a tool that really allows people to access an interactive interface of all of the different attractions in the region, events, family fun, all the different recommended itineraries, and puts it available to people via their smartphone or their laptop computer, their desktop, and even on touchscreen kiosks installed in various locations around destinations. So that's kind of the short summary, Tom, of what it is that.
Well, what's good is which I the, are people still using kiosks out there? I haven't seen very many of them because, I don't think there's one person in my group that doesn't have a phone. Some have two phones.
Yeah, no, it's accurate that, there's a lot more opportunity for people to access your content, your information, your attractions on their own devices, their smartphones, their laptops. But in high foot traffic areas, there are still opportunities to place something interactive for people to find out what's nearby without having to necessarily pull their phone out and kind of interrupt the experience around them by staring at that small device. And so we do have kiosks installed in over 60 destinations, including Phoenix. I believe they have four.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I have to tell you a quick story. And Felipe Garcia, you know Felipe from Visit Tucson, and thank you, Felipe. He sponsors our show every week, every Thursday morning. And he asked me to go to an economic development conference and represent Tucson and Southern Arizona. So he meets me at the convention center. We set up this big giant booth, and we decided that we were going to talk about our City of Gastronomy certification. We were first, as you probably know, Eric, to be identified by UNESCO as a City of Gastronomy. So anyway, he put together a big backdrop that basically said, "Eat here, live well," or something like that. And there was 400 people at this convention, and there was one concierge. So about 3 o'clock, not 10 or 11 or 1 or whatever you think you'd be your busiest, at 3 o'clock, people start descending, onto our booth, wondering, "Can you help me make reservations?" So I fired up the app. As folks should know that one of our categories is all of the City of Gastronomy certified restaurants. And I was making reservations for them. Now, it's a little bit different in our situation, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail, but all the restaurants are there. You get to see who they are, what they are, and you can freely access their website. But so all of a sudden now I got 20 deep, literally. This is no lie, Eric. And I'm because for some reason they think that I have a special deal with all the restaurants because they're calling the restaurants and they're all sold out. Well, you and I know that hotels and restaurants hold about 5-10%, I got on the app, and because there's a free app, and we'll talk again more about that. And I was able to book El Charro and some other restaurants. And I tell you what, I was the hero of the day, thanks to the Visit Widget app, because I'm a desktop guy, but there's a free mobile version of everything that Eric just outlined. And it was the first time. Sometimes when you're in tourism, you don't use all the tools. But you know what? The best example of learning, and giving Eric advice on how to improve Visit Widget is that you actually become a tourist. And I learned a lot on that particular 3 day, how useful the app was. And then from that point on, Eric, what we decided to do was, whenever we went to a trade show, we had a big screen TV with a QR code, and all they did was hit that QR code, and they were allowed to load the app. And Eric, that app, for people that are tied into the platform, you've done some really wonderful things with that. You want to share just a little bit about the mobile app?
Yeah, the apps have all of the functionality that you can experience on TucsonAttractions.com, but a bit more. So, one of the common things if I'm on a on a trip somewhere is I'm looking for somewhere to eat nearby me. I want to filter based on particular cuisine types, and all within this app, you've got all of the local dining options based on your preferences. You can sort by proximity, so what's closest to you, what's furthest away. You can quickly find something of interest and either navigate directly to it in that one singular app, or you can make a reservation, as Tom mentioned, or call the restaurant and see if they're busy at the moment and find your way to that next great meal. It doesn't stop there with restaurants. It's really a culmination of everything to do in the area, including events. It's got all the upcoming events that are constantly available in a chronological format, so you can see what's happening each day. And it's really unique because the app allows you to not only like explore the area, but you can build your own custom itinerary, share it with your travel group, and take it with you on the go to make sure you don't miss out on anything when you're visiting.
And you've been doing some updates on that feature, haven't you?
Yep,
On
the The navigation has been updated. There's also opportunities within the app to really help people discover things they might not even know about. So for example, we can create proximity-based notifications. So when someone is passing by a certain point of interest that's similar to the preferences they've selected, we can then send them a notification letting them know they're nearby so they don't miss out on that when they're passing through. We've also got gamification on the platform, really incentivizing people to go check in at certain locations to receive discounts or rewards. And that's a really popular piece of functionality, especially when we work with destinations that are looking for crowd dispersion techniques. So when you've got really congested areas with high foot traffic and you want to kind of distribute that load over different areas within the destination, you can use those kinds of passports and gamified experiences to really incentivize people to move to other areas to try to reduce that congestion in particular high foot traffic areas.
Now, we're about 30 seconds from going to break. And I have to tell you what a lot of people ask me what Visit Widget is. And I'll let you during the break be thinking about this because I may need your help because I generally say, well, it's a vacation planning dashboard. Now, I made the assumption that everybody knows what a dashboard is. So so I need your help when we come back from the break. We're going to be here for another 12 to 15 minutes. This is we're on KVOI 10:30 a.m. and this is the Morning Voice. And we'll be right back with Eric, and we're going to learn more about Visit Widget. We'll be right back.
All right, Tom, you are on the air, sir.
Okay. Hello and welcome. I'm back, and this is Tom Moulton for the second opportunity here. Eric is laughing. I am too. We are coming to you live from Austin, Texas, and I have an Austin resident with me, and Eric Dahlke, and did I say it again, or did I get it right? Okay. And Eric and I have been friends, and he came, and we visited maybe 3 years ago about how do people really plan their vacation. And him and his team have created this wonderful, in the marketing business, we call it a platform, but it's a vacation planner, a trip planner. And it's kind of like if you're planning on a trip and you're thinking about all the things you want to do, from eating, hotel, the festivals, attractions, It's all on one platform. And Eric, I presume that you were probably one of the dreamers behind this application.
I was, Tom. We were actually, when the idea first started, I was on a trip to another destination. And just through the process of pre-planning and trying to figure out what we're going to do, I found it somewhat cumbersome and thought, hey, this could be a lot easier for people and really make the entire process of planning and going on a trip a lot more enjoyable.
Well, and what was really good, your partnership and your collaboration with our guest that's coming up at 7:30 from Van Wango, because we already had this platform where we had a discount book with the Book of Fun. And we wanted to make sure it was integrated. And there's probably some other things offline, Eric, you and I and Mo can talk about to make it even more, integrated. But it's an opportunity because we provide a service to only one thing that people want to do, and that's the attractions. Now, there's a lot of things to do. So Mo and Eric were able to share, let's call it computer code, for a non-geek, and so basically our members only have to enter their information, or I enter it for them, on the attractions, and then through the magic of data transfer, Eric's team was able to transfer it over, because attractions is what we do, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, but it made it a lot easier because we feel that one of the reasons why people come to Tucson is because the diversity of the attractions that we had. But you know what was really exciting is this. We were talking about the mobile app before we went on break. And I like it. Now, I'm a desktop guy. I like the mobile app because it's connected to GPS. And you know, if you have a phone, everybody's using the map app. But this can tell you all kinds of different things. What are some of those features, again, that you find really popular in the mobile app?
Yeah, so the navigation capabilities in the app are really key because it's not just, you know, what's a local like fast food chain restaurant nearby. You might be looking for a hiking trail or a biking trail. And within the app, we have all that information. We could even show people where they are within the trail so they can easily find their way to the end or come back. And it's really just, you know, the data connection that you talked about is us sourcing data from multiple locations. So it's not just a static list. Every time you open up the app, it will show you new information about new attractions, new events that have been created. So it's really dynamic. It continues even for locals to show them, you know, what's happening, what's new in the area, what do I want to try out, as well as for visitors that are just experiencing the area for the first time. One of the really unique features that's coming down the pipeline is a new integration with an artificial intelligence chatbot. So a lot of people, you know, even though they're planning a trip to the area, they might want to learn about the history of the area or different history of different attractions in the area. And we wanted to give people a way to, you know, interact with the destination 24/7 and provide accurate information. And that AI is also extending our ability to offer additional info about each attraction. So we're using it to run data enrichment syncs and pull in hours of operation for each of the different attractions and restaurants. So people know exactly when something is open and they don't head to a particular attraction that's not open during their visit.
Yeah, I like it when you create the itinerary and then just from the click of a button, you can share it with your family or your loved ones that are joining you. But the new feature you talked about is intriguing. And I got to talk to you about how I can get that hooked up. On ours is that when you're driving by a focal point, waypoint or whatever they call it these days, that you get notified. I'm truly amazed about that technology.
Yeah, it's really beneficial, especially for someone that's new to the area and doesn't necessarily know they're passing by a major attraction. You know, it can be targeted, so it's based on people's interests. So when you first, you know, you're using the app, you can select what interests you, so you're not just going to receive notifications left and right. It's only stuff that's, you know, of interest to you. And then, you know, it's set up in such a way that, you know, we don't want to deliver nuisance notifications. So if a local downloads the app, they're not going to receive the same notification each day they pass by a particular museum. You know, it's relevant and time-based and really helps people while they're exploring to not miss out on stuff that they're nearby.
Yeah, and it integrates, of course, the whole app or the whole platform integrates video or, you know, a PowerPoint or whatever you might be. And I, as you may recall, I was very impressed by that years ago when we first started this. But you talk to any web developer or any social media, and they said video is what it's all about still. And the ease of the video and integrating the video and actually adding, whether it be an event or whether it's a restaurant or an attraction. Well, I don't have to add the attraction because they only have to do that once, but adding all of this stuff. And one of the things that we did that with your help, Eric, you may recall, is that we didn't want to become the developer of the event calendar. There's been a lot of discussion here, who has the master calendar? And there's been a few failed attempts by NPR and some other, but probably the best master calendar is the newspaper. We still have one of those. It's gotten a little bit smaller, Eric, but it's definitely... You know, the digital, if you actually add the digital and the paper distribution, it has more distribution than it had before digital. But anyway, they have an event calendar, and it's a national company that does it for multiple newspaper companies. And it really is an exciting that Matt that Eric was able to integrate that under our events. So we simply went into their calendar, meaning the paper's calendar, matched up the types of events and the festivals they want, And Eric, Eric and his team were able to integrate, and somehow that data comes over, I think you said, once an hour. And so we're really staying on top of all the events that are in Tucson and Southern Arizona. And that's a big deal, isn't it, Eric, people knowing what the events are.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with every single event, whether it's, you know, a major festival or a small farmers market, but there's people interested in all kinds of events. So we want to make sure we're keeping that up to date with, you know, all the latest and greatest information. So those syncs are running constantly to pull in events, not only from that data source, but we source from thousands of data sources all around the web on a daily basis to make sure we're not missing anything.
You know, I have to tell you, it's just an amazing app. And, you know, I'm sure it took a dreamer like yourself, and then assembling a team, investors as well, and getting all this. And I'm really happy to hear that you're constantly updating, getting feedback from your over 300 clients now. I see you got quite a few in Texas. Of course, you know, you should have a lot in Texas. That's important to have a lot of stuff in your hometown. And coming soon, there's going to be some new features, because we're going to be integrating with the Mosaic Quarter, which is a huge sports and entertainment complex that's finally coming online and under construction. And stay tuned on that, Eric, because that's going to be an exciting project for all of us, because there's an amazing amount of things that are going to be going on with two indoor field houses and entertainment complexes and hotels. And it's going to be a destination all in its own. So I want to thank you, Eric, for joining us today. It goes really quick, doesn't it? We appreciate your attention to the subject, and best of luck to you, and keep developing those new ideas.
We will. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Have a good day, sir. All right. Take care. Well, good morning, everyone. We're back. It's 7:30 my time, close to it, 7:34. But we have a gentleman that I've known for, oh, God, it's been 10 years. Mo Parikh, he's the CEO, the founder, the dreamer of a company called Banwango. And for all of you out there that know about the Book of Fun, the Tucson Attractions Passport, the gentleman that's on the radio and on YouTube and Facebook with us was, you saved our, I can say, rear, right, Matt? You know, we kept our Visit Tucson, who's sponsoring the show, Mo. They told us that, you know, I would need a one-time, you know, vehicle that people can see what's going on. And then, of course, we want to call to action. And we're the only, there was 5 savings booked when we released the Tucson Attractions Passport. And lo and behold, I mean, we're thankful to Mad Media, who put together the old app, but it was a little clunky and you had to refresh it manually. And then Mo started this company developing passports for any destination that wanted to do it. So Mo, I'm going to turn it over to you, because we want to learn a little bit about Mo and then a little bit about your dream and how the dream became a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Tom, for having me this morning. Really, really appreciate it. And like you said, we've known each other now for, gosh, 10 years, and we both look the exact same age, which is always great to see.
No. And I know you're not using that magic formula either, but your genes, I need to drink some of the water that you're drinking.
thanks again, you know, for having me. Yeah, so, you know, quick background on just Banwango and where this all came from. I've got a bit of a interesting background in that my background is not actually in tourism and hospitality. My background is actually in biotechnology. So I did my undergraduate in biomedical engineering, moved to Utah in 2007 from New Jersey to pursue a PhD in bioengineering. And the early concept of Banwango, funny enough, was I was a broke graduate student trying to figure out how to save money on lift tickets because I've been snowboarding my entire life. And the early concept of Bandwango was to try to use the group sales offices at ski resorts to get a bunch of my buddies together and collectively save 30, 40, 50% on our lift tickets. And, you know, everything happens for a reason, because as that idea started to sort of unfold, at a ski show, actually, I met the vice president of marketing for Visit Salt Lake, the tourism bureau here in Salt Lake City. And back then, they had actually a paid attractions pass product, sort of like, Tom, the one we're doing with you. And he had a big need. He said to me, you know, Mo, we're doing this with a card-based system. The attractions need hardware on site to process them. We've always wanted to make this mobile. And me being an engineer by trade, I love solving complex problems. And I saw just a really interesting opportunity that existed in the tourism world. And so really on a high level, what I'm trying to do, the mission of my company is to send 10 million customers into the communities that we serve all across America. Really proud to report that as of today, we've sent about 5.7 million people into the doors of local businesses in nearly 500 communities now. And really what our platform is designed to do is, first and foremost, it's really solving a personal problem that I've had. I and my wife and I love to travel. We've traveled the world, and we're not ones to really go to the top tier attractions. We like to find the off the beaten path, the local spots. And I just found that it was sometimes difficult to find these things. There's a lot of websites out there. There's a lot of content out there. And so the whole premise of what Bandwango does is we partner with organizations like the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and other organizations ranging from tourism bureaus to chambers of commerce to influencers to Salt River, the tribe in Arizona that we work with, all sorts of different community organizations. And our software allows you to organize all of the hyper-local fun things to do into unique experiences that are delivered directly to a customer's phones. And we make it very, very easy to do this.
Well, you sound like Rick Vaughn and I in the day. And so how are we going to package all of these unique attractions? And I have to say, you know, if anybody from Phoenix is listening, I'm going to stand by this comment that I believe we have more unique and exciting attractions than the big town 90 miles up the road. And now we're up to 130 members in the Attractions Alliance, thank goodness. And a lot of it has to do with you, Mo, and your company and your customer service team behind it, because whenever an attraction hears about, you know, how the transaction is made so simple. And of course, we couldn't do it without the attractions, because we didn't want to put together a casual discount book. And I remember from my Six Flags day, the CEO did a survey on the people that use discounts. And I have to tell you, I wish I should republish that, because it hasn't changed. You know, if you do a $2 or $3 off, you know what? You're not moving the needle at all. All you're doing, you might be standing at the front gate giving away $2 bills. So there's that magic of how much is going to create a unique, whether it be a trial visit or a repeat visit. And when you're heavy museums, that was to my favor, Mo, that because when you go to a museum, you don't go back. I mean, maybe 20 years, or there's somebody in town that's never seen the museum, or there's a new attraction or whatever. And I have to tell you that what happens with the Bandwango Passport app is, one, it's easy to find. Two, bless our attractions for generally staying with the buy one, get one free, or buy one, get second one at 50% off. Those are the really offers. And then all of the things that your mobile app allows us to do. And, you know, Mo, I think you hit the market about at the right place, because when you first started, not everybody had a mobile phone, did they?
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't as adopted as widely, and everybody that was doing things like this was via native apps that you'd have to download onto your device. We've really taken the approach of mobile-first websites, because that allows us to very quickly and easily text message and email links. It makes it instantly available to the customers on their phones. And so we really, from the beginning, looked at this with a bit of a different lens, not only in terms of our approach to deliver it, but as you mentioned in your program, you have 130 different members. The other thing that we've really spent a lot of time focusing on is, how do we make sure that what we're doing is going to work for the needs of the local businesses? Because ultimately, while sure, you know, SAAA is our customer, I really think about the customer as the local business, because that's the entity that we are trying to truly serve. That's the entity that we're trying to send more and more customers in the door of. And so to do that, we needed to build a system that was flexible enough to adapt to their unique and individual needs. So different types of businesses have high turnover of staff. Different types of businesses have different point of sale systems. And so we needed to really build a system from the ground up that was able to adapt and work with within the workflow of the actual local business. Because in your program, you have all these different attractions, but then Visit Tucson, you know, has a streetcar savings pass that's, you know, featuring businesses near the Sunlink streetcar line. And in that program, not only are there some attractions, but there's 81 Barbers, there's Aquamarine Daydream, there's Arizona Poppy, there's all of these local businesses, Ben's Bell's Shop Kind, are all in this program. And so we need to make sure that what we're doing works for their processes as well.
I have to say, Ben Wango, and, you know, of course, Mo and I could tell the story about, it wasn't the most easiest task to get people to utilize Ben Wango. And Mo and I had at least one meeting. We won't go into any details, but thank goodness you and the Arizona Office of Tourism came together. And now I have to say, for the folks listening, the greatest example that you talked about is, how do you integrate small businesses together along the streetcar route? And that came together. It was a lot of work, you know, getting the not necessarily attractions, but all the small businesses to work together on one platform, and you solved their problem. And in particular, there's another, you have all the state parks together now with the Arizona Office of Tourism. You also have Tucson, which is America's best Mexican food. By the way, Mo, we haven't been challenged on that yet. So I guess it must be true. So there's an app for that. Okay. I mean, if you want to learn about all the Mexican restaurants, you know, there's a Ben Wango passport app for that. So I have to tell you, you keep dreaming. and I want to hear a little bit more about your dreams when we come back from our first break. Mo will be back for another 12 minutes or so. And we're going to talk a little bit about how he's dreaming and helping us clients really get the word out more to our guests and our visitors. So we'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice, and we're on KVOI 1030, as well as Facebook and YouTube. We'll see you in just a few minutes after the commercial break. Now, and welcome, everyone. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., the trusted talk and voice. And we are broadcasting from Austin, Texas. And we have a very special guest. Hold just a minute. One of the things you don't want to do when you're on the radio. Mo, we were talking to the CEO and the founder and the dreamer. I'm giving you three titles today, Mo. of Ben Wango, which is the producer of our Tucson Attractions Passport, or as we, from a wonderful Dallas agency who helped us brand the passport, the Book of Fun. And the Book of Fun went digital a while back. It was clunky. Not everybody had a phone. And then along came Ben Wango, this guy that's on the radio here with me, and then, of course, on YouTube and Facebook. I had this dream. And you know what is really unique is that the need was really real, Mo, from the last segment when you talked about what you were doing. You were looking for a way to discount the tickets on the attractions that you were at, the lift, as you mentioned, the ski lift. And that's exactly, I don't think, the concept of saving a buck year after year after year has diminished. And I think that's what you're finding, Mo, when you put all these passports together, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's people are always looking for not only savings, but I also think in this day and age, the consumer is looking for convenience. The consumer is looking for unique, off the beaten path things to do in a lot of these markets. And that's really what we're focused on is sending more customers into the doors of all of these local businesses, these mom and pop shops, the attractions, the restaurants, the cafes, the pizzerias, the donut shops all around the country that I feel are largely underserved by the online distribution market.
Yeah, and you have a number of different types of passports, and it's really fun to go to a destination. Of course, I love the Houston marketplace one that you did, years ago, and actually hired that lady away for a while to help you grow. But we take a look at that often because we started out pretty much pure to the attractions world. And then we went to, well, you know, there are shopping areas that are attractions, okay? And now we're into, there are events and festivals that are really destination drivers, visitors. But you've taken it to many different areas. What are some of those areas that have been really popular for you?
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at, how what I'll call the mainstream market for tours, activities, and attractions really focuses on the top tier cities as their main market because they can make the most money there. Because our model is to partner with community organizations and fundamentally drive economic impact, it puts us in a position to be able to work with tiny cities all the way up to the New York cities of the world. And so, as I mentioned, we work in about 500 different markets now across the US, across Canada, across Western Europe. And we work with tiny, tiny cities all the way up to the main cities in the world. And the use case, I think, is what's really exciting for me in that I look at this world, not that everything needs to represent a transaction always. Things need to represent some type of conversion where if you can provide something of value to the customer and send them into these communities, that's a win for us. And so what that materializes into is we've now launched over 5,000 of these types of experiences through our company. We do everything from attraction passes. We do wine tasting passports outside of Seattle. We do beer passes. We do restaurant weeks and restaurant months. We do really fun gamified scavenger hunts. So one great example in Pasadena, California, they have a boba trail featuring all of the unique boba shops in the area. Visit Tucson has an astro trail focusing on space tourism and astro tourism. And again, these things don't have to be paid, but it's a unique reason for somebody to sign up and to come into Tucson and experience all of these great stargazing areas and places like that in the market. And that's really what our goal is to create very unique and compelling experiences that can fundamentally send somebody into your market so that they will then spend money at your local businesses. They'll eat, they'll drink, they'll shop, they'll go to the attractions, they'll stay in your hotels. And that's really what our ultimate goal is with what we're trying to do. And so that's where the unique use cases really get fun because, internally in our company, we have a Slack channel where people ask, hey, has anyone done something like this? And it's the craziest ideas. And every time the answer is, oh, yeah, this client has actually done that, from a boba trail to we had a client of ours years ago do a pickle pursuit featuring pickle producers in the area. And these are very focused and targeted experiences, but it attracts audiences into these communities. And that's really where we're trying to get to.
And you say you didn't know anything about the hospitality industry, huh?
I learned day by day just by the grind. It was early on, Tom. I was on the road nonstop.
Well, I mean, those 500 destinations, when you started with one, what was your very first passport that you put together?
Yeah, it's really cool to say that our first client and first passport was Visit Salt Lake, so home for me is Salt Lake City.
Okay, of course.
The first passport was the Salt Lake Connect Pass, which is a paid attraction pass where you buy it as a one-day, three-day, or one-year option, and you get admission into 17 attractions in Salt Lake. Makes me really proud to say that is still live today. 11 years in, that one is still live.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I think there was the city ticket was out there.
Yep.
And I know the guys that put that together. He was, you know, from SeaWorld.
Yep.
And they put it together because there was an economic downturn, and they need to figure something out. It's a little bit different. I mean, Orlando still has the city ticket, in particular San Diego, but when we looked at what we were doing here in Tucson, we couldn't pick out seven or eight different attractions. We had at that time probably 45 or 50 attractions, and I said, "How do we do that?" You know, and yep. So I think you came to our rescue. And Matt, are you still there?
Hey, Tom, let's why don't we take a little break for the news, and we can resume in a couple minutes.
Okay, great. Well, before we do that, if you can give it a second, can you go for about 5 minutes after the next break, Mo? Just about 5 mm-hmm. minutes, and we'll wrap absolutely. This thing up.
Oh. I'm Moulton.
All right, we're back. And thank you. This is KVOI. And this show comes on Monday through Friday, and I am your Thursday host, and we are broadcasting live from Austin, so we have a little bit of delay, so I apologize if you heard me say something twice, but we have a very special guest, and he's agreed to stay on for about 5 more minutes, and we really appreciate Mo being on here, who is the founder and the dreamer and the CEO of Banwango, which is the company that has put together the Tucson Attractions Passport, the mobile version. We've been kind of playing around, Mo, with this paper version for a while, and our board of directors have agreed to do two things to really, we think, shake it up and help create some more sales for both of us. And one, we're going, if you buy an annual passport, it's going to be good for a year from the day that you buy it. And Mo, I know you've been trying to get me to do that. And pretty much, I think that's what everybody else does here in the world, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of paper out there, and it's really cool to be able to move this all digital.
Yeah. And so we'll be relying a lot on your marketing team to help us figure that one out, because, you know, the old school process of selling the book worked for many, many years. And since I'm old, I understood the old process. Now that I'm not so new, we need to get some of those 30-year-olds working hard on our behalf, as they are with the rest of your clients, to figure out. We got a few ideas. We want to run by them. But we'll in the next month or so, folks, you're going to be hearing about in a sense, the new passport, because if you buy it, it's going to be good for a full year. And I think that's a year long savings, almost guaranteed. Well, it is guaranteed because Mo's system. Mo, I have to say, nobody wants to hear about when a system goes down, but I've been with you, I don't know if it's been 10 years or 9 years. And I can only remember one time in 19 years that the system went down for a few hours, and that was it. And I'm not sure I should be bragging about this on your behalf, but, you know, you hear about Google going down and the other ones go down. But, you know, for a platform that you started from scratch, I have to say congratulations on the integrity of your system.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. We spent a lot of time thinking about the architecture and how this should work from a redundancy standpoint. And you're right, our uptime is incredibly, incredibly high. I have an internal running joke with our team whenever Google and things go down, and I say, you know, even billion-dollar company stuff doesn't always work. So don't sweat the small stuff over here, because it's the reality of software. But yeah, you know, we're very proud of it. And the reality is, you know, we're processing hundreds of thousands of visits, check-ins, redemptions at local businesses per month right now. And so it's really critical that our system is up all the time. And so we have a lot of redundancies built in place here that if multiple servers, if one goes down, the other picks up, and really built it in a way to be able to scale as the company continues to grow.
You know, and most of our problems here in Tucson is user problems, meaning me. And your team, I have to say, the way you've restructured with your team and your customer service team, just a plug for Banwango, you know, the new system with the customer service team has worked out really well. I was a little bit hesitant, you know that, when you first started it. But I have to tell you, after, you know, 100 over experiences now, they're right on, they're spot on. And if they need to consult with somebody, they have another team member that can help them. So we're going to end this wonderful interview, because I promise it'll only be about 5 minutes, because I know you got to get back to work, is a couple of things, because one of the things I understand, and you're always constantly asking for customer feedback, client feedback. And with AI changing the world, you cannot be left behind. And I asked the same question, and actually, Eric volunteered this before I asked them the exact question. So you're the dreamer. Can you dream of what you want AI to do to make your this platform better for the customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the future of experiences is in personalization. You know, we throw that word around a lot these days, and there's a lot of, you know, platforms out there that claim to do experience personalization. In my opinion, in order for this to truly work, you really need two main ingredients. One is you need the supply. Content alone is not enough to drive experience personalization. You need the actual inventory. You need the coupons, you need the admission tickets, you need the tasting flights, you need that stuff. And then secondly, you need the data. Those two things combined can really drive the path towards true personalization of experiences. And I believe that that's really the missing link right now, because content is a commodity. AI today can put together a trip for you, but that's where it ends. It puts together an itinerary, but how do you actually take action against that itinerary? And most people can't do that because on the supply side today, there are supply related to tours, activities, and attractions. But again, when you look at when somebody visits a city and a destination, they're eating, they're drinking, they're shopping, they're doing all of these other things, and that supply isn't readily available yet. And that's really what Banwango is trying to do, is build the world's largest supply of hyper-local activities, because that's what's going to draw the path towards true experience personalization.
Well said, Mo. I haven't heard an explanation like that from anyone other than just right now. What the attractions are doing on their property, they should not be afraid of AI. As a matter of fact, they need to be prepared for the onslaught of new visitors that AI is finding for them, addressing their experiences and matching them up with the folks that want to consume what their experiences are. And we had a visionary 20 years ago, a tour operator, planner, meeting planner, who said, I need you guys to think about creating unique experiences that nobody wants, nobody has, that everybody wants. And then the concept was, well, what do we know what they want? And there wasn't a tool, really. Google had its thing and so on. But, you know, now matching the two up, I think, is going to drive the attractions, or maybe that's where the Attractions Alliance can help. Because it's one thing dreaming the experience. It's another thing executing the experience. Yep. And that's what you did with Banwango, and that's what you're doing every day, listening to your clients. And I know, speaking personally, and those monthly, quarterly meetings that you have, listening to your clients, working on new ways that makes it easier for us to get the word out. And I really appreciate it personally. And I know your 500 clients appreciate Mo and your team. And I appreciate you coming on at the last minute and being a key part of this radio show for the end of July as we start August. And we love August because it's that for Tucson, we're the reverse of everybody else. Everybody else dreads August, you know, because it's the end of their season. We love August because we say if we don't have all the planning done for the high season, we got to hurry up and do it. And we got 1 month to finish it up because in September, we start our high season, and generally it has something to do with the heat. So Mo, you help me learn a lot of new things about you, about your company. And we really appreciate you coming on KVY this morning, and we wish you well. Keep dreaming. No.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it so much. It's great to see you as always.
All right, well, have a great day. Take care, sir.
Thank you.
Back to you, Tom.
Well, thank you, Matt. And we're coming to you live from Austin, Texas. And we had a great first time at the 8 o'clock with Eric and Mo, both from two different marketing platforms that the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance is using to communicate to our potential visitors that are going to be, you know, enjoying our attraction experiences. And one of the guys that helped me out on the show, we got a little bit busy this morning because these guys could only give us 30 minutes each, is Tim Vimmerstedt, co-host of The Morning Voice. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you, sir?
Great. Thank you so much for listening patiently until it's our hour. The balance of the show is going to be the Tommy and Timmy show. And
right.
We've had a few of those over the years, haven't we?
We sure have.
And it's great to have you.
I was listening to you talking to Mo about 10 years of working with him. And I've worked with you for 30 years.
I know. I tell you what, you're staying young and I'm getting older. So, you know, it's great to have Timmy on because we do have a lot of our own experiences and we like to share those with our listening audience. And one of our segments that we try to get in every hour, but it doesn't always work out. But we have three segments that Tim and I are going to explore. Some ideas that I think you'll be very interested in. And also, Matt, if somebody wants to join in the conversation and call us, how do they do that?
Phone number is 520-790-2040. That's 790-2040. If you'd like to call in, talk to Tom Moulton and Tim Vimmerstedt.
That's fantastic. If you've got a favorite attraction, a favorite festival, we would like to know why. But Tim has quite the list of festivals. Who would believe that there would be so much going on in the first week in August, Tim?
It's a action-packed week. We have
go ahead, sir.
Chill and at the Chul, live music, spirits, and bites at Tohono Chul Summer Series. It's on Saturdays at Tohono Chul. They've partnered with the Children's Museum of Oral Valley, and they're going to have family-friendly nature play. It's Fridays and Saturdays through August 30th, so it's going on for a while. Recommend you bring a few dollars with you because they have cocktails and lots of great food. And Tom, our old friend Patrick Fahey is the executive chef out there. He was my chef at the Desert Museum for 10 years. And so you don't want to miss out on any of the great food that he provides.
Hey Timmy, remember the tea room at Tohono O'Toole?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, he is running that now, and it's called, I believe it's called the Bistro or something like that. And he has adopted a lot of the old things that made the tea room very popular. So, and not only get to enjoy the great catering and restaurant and food inside Tohono O'Toole, you can go to the bistro there where the old tea room was and enjoy your favorite tea along with a few things you will enjoy eating on their menu.
Well, he was just so critical to us at the Desert Museum. When we went through our AZA inspection, which is the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, we were voted the best zoo food in the nation because of him.
I believe it. Patrick is a dear friend of yours and mine. And we were so happy when he got that contract. And I think he's had that contract over 10 years, because I've had at least two events out there with the Attractions Alliance. And we're actually negotiating with him right now for the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and the Southern Arizona Festival and Events Association for a holiday party out of Tohono O'Toole.
That's fantastic. He was also my concessionaire at the Pima Air and Space Museum when I worked there.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, that's great.
He's got the food contract out there as well. Does a great job.
But what else is going on?
Summer safari nights. Beat the heat and explore the outdoors with the Reed Park Zoo summer safari nights on Friday and Saturday evenings. It's just a fantastic way to get the kids out of the house and get out to the zoo.
Well, yeah, guys, and if you catch a break, you got some, it's cooling off. If you catch a break, maybe a nearby storm will provide a little evaporative cooling, so the air's nice and the animals are happy, and it's always nice to go out there in the evenings. Same thing with the Sonoran Desert Museum in the evenings.
Yeah, that's another thing going on this weekend and every weekend through the end of August. Cool summer nights at the Desert Museum. Cooler temperatures out there. Just bring a flashlight, walk around. And Tom, you spent the last weekend out at the Desert Museum. How was that?
Well, it was funny because I was there with my 6-year-old granddaughter, and she noticed all of these people with a ultraviolet flashlight, stooping down and looking in the cracks. What were they looking for, Tim? What were they looking for?
Scorpions.
Yeah, that's right. So I can't stoop that low anymore without laying down. But she called me over, and sure enough, it was a little baby scorpions. That with the ultraviolet light, they in a sense glow in the dark.
Yeah, and they sell the little handheld black lights in the gift shop, so you can take your own black light tour.
Yeah, that was very unique. And of course, she had never touched any kind of animal, and they got this little stingray, slippery little guy, and there's a bunch of them in a big pool, and they weren't feeding them because they weren't hungry, but they were letting people in to watch them swim, and then you can reach out with a special touch, and you can feel they're kind of like an oily or slimy inner tube.
Yeah. I remember when we first put that tidbit in.
And then the neat thing about the there in the evenings is the hummingbird enclosure, because it's the evening, so they're kind of thinking about roosting at that point, and they'll land on a branch right in front of you. You can see them standing still, which you can never see anywhere else. So it's really fascinating to see them just right in front of you, standing perched on a twig or something.
Yeah, we saw one of those, Matt. It was fantastic because, you know, now of course hummingbirds are not unusual. Around your house. I mean, you can see them, but they kind of don't hang out. They kind of buzz in and buzz out. This one at the Desert Museum just wasn't going to leave. It was there, and you know, I mean, it's well worth certainly well worth the admission price to go and visit the Desert Museum. And they've been having the cool summer nights, Tim, as long as you can remember.
Oh yeah, we used to call it Summer Saturday Evenings, and I think they have a cooler name now.
Yeah, but I do miss George in the sunglasses.
Yeah, I know.
What else is going on, Timmy?
Well, we have a saguaro sunset at Old Tucson, August 12th. It's moonlight music nights, and they're going to do it again on August 23rd. And it's free admission. Eclectic array of arts, crafts, food, vendors, summer evening of strolling the main street and the town square. You and I have done that many a time.
Yeah, Tim, it's like Tanga Verde swap meet on steroids. I mean, it has the finest artists, the finest merchants, a very unique, handmade, anything you can think of, rugs, jewelry. And this is brand new for them. They did it last year, I think two times, maybe three. And they added they keep adding extra days because it's so popular. You know, about 30 to 50 different artisans that are out there. Obviously it does cool as soon as that sun goes down. They're operating the entire park. I mean, the restaurants are open, the rides are open. It's kind of like, when you go out there and during the holiday and you don't expect the shows and everything to be open. And so the only thing, they don't have gunfights. They have a kind of a show in the palace, and they have streetmosphere. But it's a little bit different than the Western experiences that they have during the high season. So we're glad to see that they're figuring out different ways to keep the park open.
And it's a great chance to go out and see Old Tucson and have some Western fun and local artisans. And it's admission is free, but bring a few dollars with you because you're going to want to have a sandwich at Big Jake's.
Yeah, if you can get into Old Tucson for free, that sounds like a pretty good deal, and see a good sunset while you're at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, we're going to be back with you after the break. We're going to turn it back over to Matt. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes or so. And this is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. And you're just your host, Tom Moulton, along with co-host Tim Bimmerstadt. We'll be right back. Well, good morning, and we're back, and we're with co-host Tim Bimmerstadt. We had a wonderful 7 to 8 o'clock hour with two special guests from the marketing platforms that helped really communicate the experiences, especially the attraction experiences, here in southern Arizona. And of course, we kind of expanded our boundaries and are promoting some Arizona attractions as well, in particular, the Arizona Historical Attractions. And we're welcoming back the Arizona Opera, who has shows in three different locations, including Tucson. The Arizona Theater Company, which has a theater in Tempe. The Historical Society has a attraction in Flagstaff and in Yuma. You know, so there are lots of attractions that are members of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, as well as the Arizona Attractions Alliance. And you'll be hearing more about that group in the coming months. Tim, have you have any other favorite events that are going on that you want to talk about?
Well, no, those were my three favorites.
Okay. All righty.
I'm excited about the chance to get out to Old Tucson for free. Relive some old memories. You'll have to pick me up since I'm paralyzed.
No. I can't pick you up anymore, just like you can't pick me up, but I'd be glad to wheel you around.
Well, I just need a ride.
And enjoy the activities that I'm sure I know you miss. Other thing, Matt, can you tell the listening audience again, and the viewing audience, I should say, about how you can call in and tell us about your favorite attraction or special event?
We are at 520-790-2040, 520-790-2040. Yeah, give us a call. Tell Tom and Tim, and let's hear about your favorite attractions in Southern Arizona.
Now, I don't know if you can do this, but I'm sharing my screen. Is that something that you can pick up on the YouTube and the Facebook system?
I'm not sure. Let me give it a try. You keep talking. I'll try to work on that.
Okay. This is something that we haven't tried before, but we were talking about Visit Widget. Okay. And I wanted, if we can, if not, I'll describe to you. And Tim, you might want to, you got your computer next to you?
No, I don't. My computer crashed trying to get on the Zoom meeting this morning.
Well, I just wanted to kind of tell the public here what we're talking about with the Visit Widget app, which you can load on your phone for free. Just go to TucsonAttractions.com on your mobile phone, and right at the top, it will prompt you to load the free app. And we would encourage all of you, whether you live here or don't live here, to load this free app, because you're going to have a wealth of information right on your phone about how do you plan your next trip to Southern Arizona. And I have it open right now. And Matt is trying to get it online for you. Again, we have never tried this before. But so when you go to TucsonAttractions.com, you'll have this little logo that'll pop up in your right-hand corner. And you click on that, and then it opens up. And this is brand new, by the way. I have not seen this. But it opens up and it says, plan your perfect trip. Okay. And it has all the categories that you can find out more information. So attractions, family fun, tours, hotels, eat, drink, events, and shop. What else would you need to know about Southern Arizona? And you can go ahead and create your plan. Or you can hit maybe later, which gives you an idea on the kinds of things that are going on. Now, the first thing it goes to is a map. And on this map is all of the things that you can see on this app. In other words, all the experiences and their location on the map. So if you want to know what hotel you're staying at and then what's around your hotel, you'll be able to see this on the map. But on your left-hand side, again, Matt, any luck?
No, but I can kind of see what you're doing at my end, and it's nice because even if you express some sort of an interest, even if you're not going to plan on this trip, it'll remember that that's kind of among your preferences, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to. You hit the button. There's a button called Add. So as soon as you go to some place that you like to go, you just click on the button that says Add, and it stores it for you. And then at the end, you ask to see your itinerary, and then you can move it around and adjust it according to your geographic, transportation system. But more importantly, when you first get into it, it defaults. It goes to the attractions because we are the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. But there are the other buttons that I mentioned, tours and events and family fun and eat and drink. So just for the heck of it, let's go to eat and drink, okay? Now, when you go to the eat and drink section, it has a picture of all of the certified Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurants. Now, what does that mean? And there's over 50 of them, okay? So 10 years ago, UNESCO, United Nations Creative Cities, developed a series of cities that were special in several areas. Art, and be an example, Santa Fe is for art, okay? But there are only two City of Gastronomies in the United States. There's many in Europe and Asia and so on. But the criteria is maybe five different criteria to become a City of Tucson certified restaurant. One, you have to be locally owned, okay? Can't be a chain. Two, you have to be able to use some of the heritage foods that is actually grown here. And a lot of this, these natural ingredients, have been used for over 5,000 years, you know, so, prickly pear, for example, that's been used, that fruit of the prickly pear has been used for over 5,000 wheat. The Sonoran wheat has been used to make bread for many, many, many years. So you have to, be able to show that you're making items on your menu with native or heritage foods, we call them. The third criteria is that you have to be engaged in the community. And I have to tell you, there's nothing better than a local restaurant where the chef is engaged in the local community. And that's really what sets us apart. So anyway, there's over 50 restaurants that are on this, what we call vacation planner dashboard or experiences. And some of them, you'll be surprised that they're locally owned. But we all know about El Charro and Barrio Bread, Barrio Brewing, and probably you have your specials restaurants, Tim, that you know. What's one of your favorite restaurants, Matt?
Boy, there are so many of them. It's kind of hard to get thrown that curveball right off the bat. But there's a new one out on my side of town, so just to throw a little love to them, called The Ranch. It's a steakhouse out at Catalina Highway and Tanque Verde, and that's a new place, and I understand they're even expanding their footprint this fall, so that's a really neat place.
Well, we need to let them know that the certification program is ongoing, and all they have to do is go to the City of Astronomy website. Tim and I used to go to the Blue Willow. Remember that, Timmy? That
for
breakfast.
Man.
And we had a lot of meetings there, and it's got one of the food is delicious. The environment, you're surrounded by nature. Tim, you remember those days, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
The Tucson Tamale Company. Come on, man. Really? You haven't been to the Tucson Tamale Company on Tango Verde Road? I have to tell you, I mean, I love eating tamales wherever whatever restaurant they're located at, and there's just so many restaurants here that are locally owned, and you know, and this is what happens when you're a tourist city. Well, Matt, looks like we got to go to break, and this is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moult. And we're kind of reminiscing a little bit about the things there are to do in Tucson, because we just got done talking about the marketing platforms that share all these wonderful things we have here in Southern Arizona. So bear with us. We got a few more minutes to talk about our special places that we hope you can go visit. This is The Morning Voice. And we're on KVY, 10:30 a.m. See you in a few minutes. Well, we're back for the last segment of a wonderful 2 hours featuring all the different ways that Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance is promoting the experiences here in town. And the second hour, we've been talking with Matt and Tim about some of our favorite restaurants and attractions. There is one area that I wanted to share with you, and that's the tours. Okay, so that's another section on Visit Widget. And you click on tours, and it talks about all of the different kinds of tours that take place here. And one of them is our brand new, kind of a brand new a member called Stories and Strolls, okay? And what this is a gentleman that was in the hotel industry for many, many years, and he has been talking about Tucson ever since he's been here, and he's also a history buff. So he decided to retire from the hotel industry and create a company called Strolls and Stories, and his famous tours are around downtown Tucson. And he talks about all of the history about Tucson, including, you know, some of those wonderful mountains, you know, right in the background of, you know, where the Native American population goes back many, many, many years. We're one of the oldest inhabited areas in the world, and they were right here in Tucson. Of course, our rivers at that time had water, so they had their own unique irrigation systems, and they also had their unique heritage foods, crops that they, because of the wonderful water that was here at that time period. So anyway, he goes around and he talks about Father Kino and his influence he had on the area. He talks about all of the old houses that have been renovated. He talks about the wonderful Catholic churches that are downtown, and also other missionary churches. Just really full of lots and lots of information. And tours are very popular in Tucson. And these are private tours in the sense of groups of 10 or under. He does a really nice job. The Presidio also has a series of tours, and probably the biggest tour is called the Turquoise Tour. Matt, have you ever done the Turquoise Tour?
I've done the the ghost tour downtown, which was also fascinating. There's so many great stories. So I haven't done the turquoise tour yet, but it sounds, I know of it, so I'm aware of it.
Yeah, is the ghost tour still going on that you're
aware of? Well, it was a couple
of
years ago. It might have, may have actually been before the pandemic. So it's been a couple of years. Yeah, but it was fun.
I've been trying to get the fellow that does the Strolls and Stories tours to do a ghost tour around Hotel Congress. Hotel Congress stopped their tours at COVID, and I'd love to have the historical Hotel Congress tours get back. And really, the fellow that puts on these other tours, Scott Darlage is his name.
Yes,
does a great. He's been on the show at least two or three times.
A couple
now.
Times. Yeah, and while we're on the subject of tours, take the time to do the Mission Gardens tour. Now, it was a number of years ago when I think it was Roger Pfeiffer, the guy that was the former TUSD superintendent. Go take the tour there. A lot of great, along with what you're in line with what you're saying, a lot of great stories there. The kind of the heritage crops, the pomegranates, limes, you know, the all the different things that we used to grow here, that they used to grow here. Fascinating tour. Great stories.
Yeah. And that's on the west side of downtown. So
sure.
You can take the street, you can grab that streetcar and get on there. And then there's plenty of parking down. Of course, the Mercado is down there, and great restaurant.
Plenty of
great
places to grab a bite after. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, the taco place is fantastic down there. But they have a couple watering holes down there, if I recall correctly, right, Tim? So we got to search out those places. And, you know, I have to tell you that's if you listen to the 7 to 8 o'clock, you heard me reveal that I believe that we have the best variety of attractions, world-class attractions in Arizona than any other city in Arizona. We have unique attractions throughout Arizona, but we probably have the largest collection of attractions here in this community. And we encourage all of you to go and visit TucsonAttractions.com. Check out the website, but also check out that little visit widget that pops up, and because it's the largest collection all in one website area that you want to tell your friends about when they're visiting, or you want to certainly encourage them to visit that site.
Tom, we got to run. The time went quickly, didn't it?
Oh, I know. This is the Morning Voice, and we're so happy that you came today to listen to us, and I'll be back next Thursday with a whole new show. And thank you, Tim, for joining us.
Now, my pleasure, Tom.